Yeah. We're going to be in John chapter 3. If you want to follow along with me, I'd like to read a number of verses, and then we'll come back and we'll break it apart and look at some things on being born again. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life." Let's pray for just a second, if you will. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray that you'll help us as we see this passage, one that's very familiar to most of us, that, Lord, that we might see things in there, that we might draw from there things that you want us to know. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we go through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we only have gotten to the third chapter of John, and if you remember, John chapter 1 is the introduction of Jesus. He was the Word that was born. He was the Word that was God and came, and he dwelt among us. And Jesus, John tells us about Jesus then and his becoming the Messiah or being the Messiah, and how his disciples began to follow him as he went around in chapter 1 and brought disciples to him. We get to chapter 2 and we have a message, a story that all of us know about, the changing of water to wine. And then after that is the clearing of the temple courts. And we finally get to the last part of chapter 2. I want you to hear this because it affects what happens in chapter 3. In fact, chapter 1 and 2 affect what happens to chapter 3. So we don't want to just pull it out of its context. So listen to these verses. "Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person," or other translations say, and the original says, "in a man." He knew what was in each man. And so we get to verse 1, and our NIV says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus." The original context says, "Now there was a man." As if chapter 2, the ending of it, that Jesus knew what was in a man, now introduces us to a man. And there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a leader of the council, a ruler, a Jewish leader in the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. He was one of the top group, and he talks to Jesus and he calls him Rabbi. He says, "Rabbi," in other words, teacher. "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no man could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And so Jesus abruptly says something completely different. He says in verse 3, "Very, verily, or truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So here's Nicodemus wanting to know from this new teacher that what he might teach, what kinds of things might he teach. He himself is a rabbi, that is, this Pharisee of Nicodemus. He's a member of the Jewish council. He's the elite of the elite who knows the scriptures. He knows that there are 613 Old Testament laws. And so he wants to know from Jesus, what else do you have to teach us? What other information can we gather from you as a teacher? And Jesus completely changes the subject and says, or perhaps teaching him, but he's telling him, you need to be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. He talks about what is essential. If you take a note, this is Jesus' first thought, John's first thought, and that is that being born again is essential. Read that again. I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, if you're old like me, you know that there was a movement back in the 60s that was called the Jesus Movement. You remember that? It was people that are going around talking about how you must be born again, and they became those people who were the Jesus freaks. And the Jesus freaks were the ones that used this term born again. And so suddenly born again became kind of a, that's what the nuts believe. That's what the freaks, the Jesus freaks are all about, as being born again. As if being born again is some kind of a strange thing. And so, of course, you know, they were right. Jesus says you must be born again. It's just not following Jesus and being born again. It's not just a way. It's the way. You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to see it unless you're born again. And of course, Nicodemus didn't understand that. How does this happen? Surely you can't enter your mother's womb a second time and be born. In other words, be born again. He didn't understand, of course. And so Jesus cleared him up. Verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now, the water, when I was growing up, and in fact taught myself that John 3 here is talking about baptism, I don't think that's what he's talking about. Although baptism is necessary, that we need to be baptized. We see that all throughout the scriptures. Peter told the people on Pentecost they need to repent and be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul was told to rise and be baptized and wash away his sins. So I don't want to discount baptism. But I want to say I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about here, because Jesus is talking about, as he says here, born of water and of the Spirit, and then born of give birth to flesh, and then the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Perhaps that's what he's talking about. Just in other words, you're going to have to be first become a creature of the flesh. You come into this world that way. You are born of flesh, and you are a fleshly person. You live in this life as a human being, as a physical entity, as a physical being. But Jesus says something else has to happen to you that has not yet happened, and that is you need to be born of the Spirit. So on the one hand, you come into this life, and you live like everybody else does in this world in a fleshly way. You live in the flesh. But now you need to be born of the Spirit. There needs to be something new that's happening to you. And, of course, Nicodemus was just wanting more information that they could continue to live out in their lives. What new laws do you have? What new teachings do you have that we ought to follow? We see that you're able to work miracles, so you must have come from God. And so what else does God want to say to us? And, of course, Jesus took the script and went into the spiritual direction. Instead of giving him more teaching, he says what you need to know is that you just simply need to be born again. And don't be surprised at that when I say you must be born again. And so it is something that is very essential. Jesus isn't just telling Nicodemus he needs some new teachings. He's telling him he needs a new life. And everybody who has lived in their lives and today that lives in the flesh, if they have not, they need to be born again. That's what's essential. If we're to see the kingdom of God, we're talking about the spiritual kingdom here. The Jews thought that Jesus was going to come when the Messiah came. He was going to reestablish the kingdom of David here on the earth. Jerusalem would be the center, and they would kick the Romans out, and before them the Greeks out, and all the people who had taken them over. And so they no longer had their kingdom, and Jesus would come along and reestablish, or the Messiah would come along and reestablish the kingdom. Well, Jesus says that's not exactly what, it's not at all really what is meant by the coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom is going to be, as Paul writes in one place, invisible. It's going to be unseen. And so it is a kingdom that all of us as Christians are now a part of, and anyone who's been born again becomes a part of. And so it's something that is essential. You're not a Jesus freak if you believe you need to be born again. You're following after what the Bible teaches. And then we got the second thought here, and that is verse 8, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or from where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It is an unseen thing. We know that it happens, we just can't see it. Now, we'll see its results in Christian living and the way it changes your heart and your life. And we'll see that, but we don't actually see what takes place. We have to trust it, and we believe it, of course, from Jesus Christ. It's like the wind blowing. We hear it, we see evidence of it, we just don't know. We can't fully see it all, and so it is again with everyone born of the Spirit. Of course, Nicodemus wants to know how this can be. Listen, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 36. You might want, if you take notes, you might want to write also Jeremiah 31, but Exodus 36 is a great passage. It has to do with the new birth, believe it or not. It has to do with the prediction of the coming of the Messiah. Look at verse 16. The Son of Man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they were defiled by their conduct and their actions. And he goes on and talks about how they went off into captivity, and they came back. And he says in verse 24, to us, predicting the coming of the Messiah, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries, and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean." Notice that. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all your idols." Verse 26 is profound. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then you will live in the land that I give you to your ancestors, and you will be my people and I will be your God." Now, of course, people like Nicodemus didn't fully understand that. They just knew when the Messiah came, they would get their kingdom back, and that's kind of what it sounds like in the last part. "I'll give you the land that I gave to your ancestors. You're going to be my people, and I will be your God." But he's talking in spiritual terms. These aren't, this is going to be a physical thing. It's going to be an invisible thing. True, it is going to be a supernatural thing that happens to us. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercies has caused us," underline that in your mind, "has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So there's a great passage about what God's intent was and what God did to us. Our salvation is a gift from God. It's not something that we do, except, of course, our faith and the obedience of faith, but nothing that we do to earn this. Now, we are given a new life through the Spirit, as we obey the gospel and come to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is telling Nicodemus, who just really wants some more teaching, and he knows what's in man, and he knows that's what he's looking for, and so he abruptly teaches him, listen, it's all about being born again. That's why I'm here, in order for you to be reborn. And that's why Jesus came, and that's what God sent him for, and that's what everyone was heading for. Everybody in the world was headed for God, from God. He says, verse 10, you're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but who's the we here? It could be God himself, and Jesus is the we, and the Holy Spirit, of course. But it also could be the Old Testament scriptures, the we, all the ones who are heading toward this truth about the coming of the Messiah and the new birth into a spiritual life. And perhaps that's what it is. But don't know fully the answer on there. You can wrestle with that if you want. But the point is, they don't accept their testimony. And he says, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? Again, being born again is a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's an unseen thing. And it, of course, is something that Jesus has come to cause. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. It's essential. Put our faith in God and in Jesus Christ as the Savior. It is essential to be born again because of that. And, of course, it's something that we can't fully see. We see the results of it, but we don't see it happen to us because it's something that's internal. There's another scripture Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit awakens our spirit. It makes it come alive. And, of course, that corresponds with Exodus 36 and Jeremiah 31 that talks about God giving us a new spirit. Our new birth is an internal spiritual thing that happens to us, and God is behind it. Now, John picks up in verse 16, famous passage. You go to any football game, you're going to see people with the John 3:16 quote. Remember the old guy with rainbow wig that back in the old 70s and 80s or something, he would always have a sign, Jesus, that would say, for God so loved the world, it would just say John 3:16, of course, because everybody knew it. John writes, and this isn't Jesus now, John is picked up. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn this world, but to save the world through him. I love that passage. I've mentioned it to you several times. Verse 16 is so well known. Verse 17 ought to come up there a little bit more in your mind. For God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. That's not why he did it. He came to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, remains in the flesh, won't come and be born again because they don't believe. He says that because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Life has come into the world. That's Jesus. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be seen, it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. A little last thought there. What they see, what they can see plainly in you, they know that whatever has happened to you, it's been done by God. What is it? It's the being born again. Your spirit has been made alive. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you, the Bible teaches. And that happens with being born again. Now, of course, baptism is involved, surely. I don't know that it is in this passage, but the idea of being born again is, which includes following the gospel, putting faith in Jesus Christ, confessing Him as the Son of God, being baptized into Christ, being raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. You got a new life, and that's being born again. It's not remaining in the flesh, but moving on. And so He talks to us in that section there, John does, about the purpose of Christ's mission, the results of belief and unbelief, unfortunately, and the causes of belief and unbelief. One of the causes of unbelief is you hate the light. You like where you are, and so you want to remain in it. But the reason, of course, that you want to believe is that you see it as truth, and you grab a hold of it. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you obey the gospel. So it's a great little passage. It's the second of Jesus's verily, verily. Let me just say one more thing to you, because He's talking about the new birth and how it's invisible and how you don't see it, you don't understand it. The water to the wine story actually applies to what we're saying here. You remember the story? They were at a wedding in Cana. And Jesus' mother came up to Him and said, you know, they're running out of wine, and you need to fix this, son. And so, of course, Jesus initially said, that's not why I've come, you know. And nevertheless, His mother told everybody, whatever He tells you to do, do. And so Jesus said to the servants, fill some jars with water. And so they filled them to the brim. And then He told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And so something happened between the plain water to the wonderful wine that we don't know. We don't see it. We just believe it. And draw some out and take it to the master. So they did. And then the master of the banquet tasted the water. John says the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then He called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. And so, of course, John says what Jesus did here in Cana was the first sign Jesus did through which we would know His glory would be revealed. But think about that story for a minute. Here you have water and it's turned to wine. You have servants who are told to put water in there. It's about 120 gallons. There's six different jars that are 30 or 40 gallons each. And so we have about 120 to 180 gallons of water. And He tells them then just to immediately dip out, and they dip out and they take it. Turns out it's wine. Who saw it? Nobody saw it. All they know is that the master said, go take the water to the wine to them, and that something miraculous happened. That is an illustration of the new birth. It is, again, invisible. It is something that happens to us when we obey the gospel and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we're born then of the Spirit. And it's something that we just know is true, that through Jesus Christ that we are born again. And so, anyway, the last part, it is essential, it is invisible, and folks, it is an individual. Each one of us, some people reject Jesus Christ. How unfortunate to remain in the flesh all of your life and to not have the Spirit born within you and not have your own spirit made alive simply because you like what you're doing in this fleshly world. There are people like that, and some people, unfortunately and sadly, are going to be lost. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants people to follow Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins in their life, and to put their faith in God. Fortunately, though, there are people that understand and immediately see that this is Jesus Christ, this is salvation, this is the new life that God promises us that will lead us into eternity. And so we end there with that story. Let's close with a word of prayer. Listen, if you have a need, I want you to come talk to me. If you haven't been born again, we'll talk about what needs to be done here for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message, and we thank You for John and how John, instead of dealing with all of the healings and the other things of Jesus, immediately goes right to the heart, talks to us about Jesus and what it's all about. He's come here to give us new life. And Lord, we know that that new life is found in our faith in Jesus Christ, and that you cause us to be born again. Thank you for this new birth. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.